The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Hello and welcome back to the Potty Plotters Plotcast Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 7, and I'm Elaine.
And I'm Julia.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking... So we're still going to be doing that, and we're going to be talking about seed tapes, and there's a reason for that, obviously.
Okay.
Collecting our own seeds.
Right.
I know that it's into March, April, but nevertheless, I'm going to do a little experiment with you, Julia.
Okay.
All right. And then we're going to talk about preparing the ground for carrots, parsnip, obviously producer Gareth's favourite beetroot.
Yeah.
And we're going to do some cosmos as well. That is a flower. We're not eating them.
No.
All right, then. And if we get any time, I want to talk about slugs as well, because it's that time of year and it's very, very wet underfoot.
Well, I'm glad you've said that, because I'm already thinking about making an order for the nematodes.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that later.
Right, so grab your coffee, comfy seat, do not disturb, notice on the door, and off we go.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Let's get started then, Julia. So pouring down, and so instead of getting wet through and wet rot and all the rest, we are instead at our house.
At our house.
I say our house.
Your
house. My house, not your house.
No.
Yes. But I thought that we'd tell everybody how to get in touch with us again.
Okay.
Now, I know that you know this off by heart. Go for it, Bill. Come on.
It's Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Potty Plotters. TikTok at The Potty Plotters, email us naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk or check out our website pottyplotters.uk.
That was impeccable.
Thank
Message
you.
To Julia, please stay indoors more often, then you'll get it right. Well done indeed.
Thank you.
Oh, now then, a little reminder to Gareth. Gareth,
me.
Yes,
yeah.
You, hello. Over there. Talk to us about Kofi.
So, Kofi, so what we've started to do this season is, if you'd like to leave us a tip to keep us going, you know, buy us a coffee, that kind of thing. That's where Kofi comes from, you see.
Then
you can head over to kofi.com/thepottyplotters. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters and leave us a tip. And we said what we do is shout out to everybody that has left us one. Apologies if you left one a couple of weeks ago and you're only just hearing this now. We are recording quite in advance because one of us has a job that means we go away quite a lot. So this week we're going to thank Sinead, who says she loves downloading the podcast every week. Thanks, Sinead. We love making this every week.
We do.
Tanya says she's enjoying the podcast. Good to hear local advice. I'm down the road in Grimsby. Hang on.
Down the road in
Down the road, turn left, turn right, turn left, keep on. That's pretty much Grimsby, isn't it?
We're still the north,
yeah,
aren't we?
That's
it. We're the
she
northern
knows what
contingent.
We're on about.
Yeah.
Girl.
And finally to our good friend Dawn Tinsley. Not only do you make me chuckle, but you cover everything I need to know. Gareth is certainly better at doing the intro than you, though, ladies. Keep up the good work.
Oh, Dawn.
To be fair, I think she's right.
Oh,
isn't
I know,
but yeah.
Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Potty Plotters, TikTok at The Potty Plotters, email naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk or check out the website pottyplotters.uk.
Showing off, Elaine.
So thank you all. And if you'd like to support us to keep on producing the podcast, you can go to ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters and leave us a tip. And I might call in and get coffee with it on the way around next week.
I've got a question. So Kofi.
You don't have to put your hand up. It's only us here. It's okay.
Okay.
So Slater, Derby.
So Kofi.
Yes.
Kofi, that's about people buying us coffee. Is there a cakey?
Or if you a had tea. A bit,
if you had a bit more in, I can afford Kofi and cakey. Although, Billy's made a cake this week.
Oh, Billy did not make that cake. I made that cake, yes, and I did not put beetroot in it, Gareth.
You haven't better have done.
No. You'll find out later.
You haven't better put anything weird in it. Beetroot, courgette. They don't belong, like carrot does not belong in a cake either, let's be honest.
No, it's just double cream. That's good. All at the minute until we get going again.
Contact the Potty Plotters anytime on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Potty Plotters or email naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk.
This week we're just going to give some updates, and Julia, I know that we've been peeping over at the broad beans. Is it time to put them out yet?
Mine are in. not out.
Oh, it's all about me now, isn't it? No. Me. I've put my beans in. Yeah,
I have. Right. So I've put mine in the polytunnel. So mine are in, planted, and they've got going quite quickly now. On the days when we've got nice weather, nice sunshine, of course, it really heats up in the polytunnel. So they're putting on a lot of growth at the moment. Yours, I've noticed, they have come up and they're now probably a couple of inches tall. So I would expect you, are you going to put them on your plot now?
I'm not going to put them on my plot because they need hardening off.
Now
then, my girl. So what we're going to do is we've kept them in a little warm environment in the polytunnel. Yeah. And they've been very snug in there, which actually we've got the heating on for you today, I can
say. Thank
you. Oh, thanks for that.
And what we are going to do, though, is now start to acclimatise them.
Right.
So hardening off is nothing more than getting them used to living outside. If we plant them straight away out in my polytunnel, Julia, they'll go into shock.
Okay, so it's like when we're talking about hardening off, it's almost like, so we've been nice and warm in the polytunnel, we're popping a coat on and letting them go outside for a bit.
Yeah.
And then you're going to really take the coat off and put them in the ground later on.
Yes, but I will tell everybody when we do that because we'll probably be on the plot planting them and we'll show you how to do that then. So anybody who's been planting the same as us, and if you've got them in a greenhouse, and as I say, they're about 2 inches high, just get them used to being outdoors, that's all.
Okay,
so we'll leave them be. And snapdragons.
Oh, they're putting on quite a bit of growth as well. I've again kept them inside in a nice protected environment, but I obviously lowered the temperature. We don't want them to get too big too quickly. So now we've probably got, the second set of true leaves coming on them.
Oh,
so I'm just going to leave them to slowly grow, and then eventually I will be nipping the tops out.
Also known as anti-Rhinum, not to be confused with Auntie Sheila or Auntie Joyce or Auntie Mavis.
Oh, yes.
We don't want to leave her out, do we,
Julia? No.
So are we too late to be planting any more of them?
No. No, in fact, you could do successional sowing if you wanted to with them so that we've got more coming on later in the year.
That's a good idea, yeah.
But no, I've gone full flow with it and I've got hundreds going.
And it's fair to say, not doing you down, Julia, but they are very easy to grow, aren't they, from seed?
They are. However, remember, they are the teeniest, tiniest, weeniest seed ever. And so I use the cocktail stick to put them into individual cells, but you have had to sit there and basically prick them all out, haven't you?
I have. But both have worked.
Both have worked.
Yours was a better idea.
Thank you.
And I would use that again in the future.
Did you record that, Gareth? Mine was a better idea.
What I'm doing is just imagining her spending the whole of last week with a pair of tweezers pulling them all out and separating them all out, because she basically just tipped a bag of seeds in.
Yeah,
I did, but I didn't use tweezers. I used my metal spoon. I've always got a spoon in my handbag. I can prove it if you want me to.
Isn't a spoon a bit big?
No, because I get a spoon into where I've planted them, and the seedlings are around 1.5-2 inches tall, and I just get the spoon in right the way down to the bottom, and then I pull out a chunk with my spoon, and then I sit and individually put each one in a cell.
Nothing on telly last night, then?
Athletics.
Okay.
Hey, Friday night athletics. Now then, let's move on, shall we? So, the tins.
This was homeware,
wasn't
it? You
produced yours, yes.
I have produced. Well, you say I've produced mine. I've delivered it.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
So I had the rocket from the teeny greenies, and you had the purple radish.
I did.
Yeah, and you had some lettuce.
I had some red mizuna.
Yeah, so we all chose what we want. I got lumbered, but nevertheless.
We chose for you.
Okay. And so, Gareth, yours looks very good.
Yeah, so following on from last week where we removed it from the airing cupboard and we said they looked a bit yellow, they've been in a windowsill, not the warmest windowsill, because that area of the house, although it gets sun during the daytime, we haven't been in that much, so we haven't had the heating on, so it's still been a normal sort of temperature. They've gone green, but this still doesn't resemble rocket. It looks like cress.
Okay. Mm. Julia? You haven't brought yours with
you? No, I didn't know I was meant to bring it.
Okay, then, that old chestnut,
Mine are a bit like Gareth's, really, just looking like cress that are coming up.
Right, well, mine look magnificent.
When can I eat them?
When I let you.
Oh.
Well, I would say, joking apart, it says on the leaflets and adverts that they're very full of nutrition. I'm not sure how much we've got to eat in order to get some nutritional benefit, but I think what we ought to do is contact Alice from Teeny Greeny and see what she says.
And ask her when we can eat them.
Well, why don't we ask her if she'll come on the podcast?
Okay, then.
All right, then. That's what we'll do.
That's a job for you.
Yeah, I'll do that. All right, then. Let's do that. And then we'll find out the answers in case anybody else was thinking of getting any.
Hints and tips for shortcuts to success. The Potty Plotters Podcast.
I just wanted to talk about slug deterrents from last week because we started talking about them. But Julia, you've already mentioned nematodes.
Nematodes, yes. Yes. So we've used nematodes now for the last couple of years. And I think they're a really good way of getting rid of most of your slugs that are on your plot. So basically, a nematode is a very tiny microscopic organism, and there's thousands and thousands of nematodes, and there's usually one good guy to one bad guy, and all we're doing is think of the slugs and snails as the bad guy, and there is a specific nematode that will kill off the slugs and snails. Now, the beauty of it is it's such a tiny little thing that you can't see it, and all we do is water it into the ground.
So what is it though? First of all, let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
How do you get it?
So you get it usually through, you order them online.
Okay.
But I've noticed some of the garden centres are now starting to have them, and it's almost like a packet that you have to take to the counter, and they obviously have to go to a refrigerator to get them because they are live organisms. So they've only got a certain shelf life on them when you get them delivered. Usually, I think it's about 2 weeks.
Right.
They come in a sealed packet.
And what does it look like? I mean, is it just a great big looking toad?
No.
What is it?
No, it looks like mushroom patty, you say. So,
okay.
Yeah. And it's a tiny, tiny packet, but it's got millions of these things in.
Okay.
But you can't see them. So, I mean, the lads at the allotment basically think it's the emperor's new clothing, you know, that they're not really there at all. And it's just we've just been delivered some sawdust or something. But it's not. And all you do then is mix it, water it down, and then you dilute it further with more water and water it onto your plot. Now, we've always focused on areas where there's a lot of slug damage. So sometimes the dahlia areas, I've done the strawberry areas and the potato areas. But I think I'll probably just do the whole lot this time.
Right, then do we do that before we plant stuff? Or do we do it when we've planted stuff?
Ideally, you can do it before.
Okay.
If you have to, you can do it when you've planted stuff. But it's easier to do it when you've got an open ground and you can actually get to the ground. And we'll be looking for the soil to actually warm up before we start doing that. So even if you kind of order it and then the cooler weather is forecast, you've still got a period of time when you can hold it back, keep it in your fridge, perfectly safe, it's sealed, and then you can bring it out when you can see that the temperatures have warmed up. So that's when we'll be watering it in. But the beauty of it is, I don't know if you're aware, Elaine, but 70% of slugs are underground in the soil already.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So all these are doing, they're entering the soil,
yeah,
and then they will seek out the host, which is a slug, and they will find the slug and basically go through an open hole, so an ear, a nose, or whatever, and enter it, and then it will kill it off from the inside out. What are you laughing at? Are you being rude?
I'm just thinking if slugs have ears, Julia. I'm not sure that they do. But they'll go through a hole of some sort.
Yes, yes. So they'll find the way in, and then they will
bear
kill
with
off.
Me. Just going to Google this.
Google, do slugs have ears? Walls do.
Do slugs have ears?
Yeah. It's marvellous, isn't it? That
anyway, so they'll enter the slug and they will gradually reduce the population of slugs. Sometimes you may need a secondary dose of these to really knock back the population. And it might be bad this year with us having a lot of rain and bad weather.
Last year when we used nematodes, we did one dose where we were planting.
Yep.
We'd actually put in our dahlia tubers. I'd already planted my potatoes.
Yes.
We don't water over the tops of those. We watered round them so that they weren't wasted and stranded out on leaves or anything. And then what we do is 6 weeks later, we gave another dose as well.
Yeah.
But then that keeps from 1 year to another, doesn't it?
It builds up the cases. Because they are naturally in the soil. All we're doing is introducing more of them.
Topping them up.
And the beauty of the nematodes is the nemaslug, they will literally just focus on killing a slug. They will not kill anything else. They're not harmful for your pets or anything like that. So it's really, really... Now, what's he smiling at? Have they got
ears? It's good, yeah.
So this from a top site, the Natural History Museum site. Yeah. So I think they know what they're talking about. I'm going to turn into Attenborough with this.
Oh, come on then.
Oh, whoa.
So, snails and slugs sense the world very differently to us. They can't hear like we do, but they may be able to sense vibrations with their bodies. I think from that we can say they don't have ears.
Do wolves have ears?
If you draw them on, better, yeah. Depends. Have you got a glass against the next door neighbours?
Does that actually work?
No.
Have you tried? You said that with confidence, Gareth.
I live in a detached house.
Oh, well, anyway, so that's
so.
All about
so I'll be doing the nematodes. Yeah. So you also use something.
The wool pellets. Yeah. But they will only deter. It's fair to say the slugs that are on the top.
Yeah.
So what you do with those is you open the packet and they reek of a sheep. You know what it is straight away. Little tiny pellets. And then what you do is you put them round your plants.
Right.
So as you put in, say, a runner bean plant, then you put a little pile of the little wool pellets round the bottom of the plant, and then you water it, and it forms a hairy mat, and it's that the slugs don't like.
Right.
So it is good, and they are cost-effective.
Yeah.
And what I would say this year, Julia, it might be interesting for us to calculate how much we spend on slug deterrents.
Okay, that's a good idea. Because, I mean, some people might be listening to this thinking they're collecting their eggshells and they are going to use them as a slug deterrent.
Yeah.
Now, I would think you'd have to collect a lot of eggshells to make a big enough mound around each plant.
Yeah.
I think they probably do work, but they need a massive area where they're around them, because it'd be the kind of texture of the shell they won't like to cross over.
Yeah.
So you're going to have hundreds and hundreds of eggs. You're going to be bound for the year, aren't you?
But you can do it all year, so that is okay. But let's have a go, and then we can tell everybody how we've got on, and perhaps everybody can tell how they've gone.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got any kind of guaranteed ways of getting rid of slugs, I know that previously when I used to have my little veg plot at home, and I probably had too much time on my hands, I used to go out at night time and I used to pick them off.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what?
Well, because they come out at night usually, so if you go out you can see them and you can get rid of them.
Chuck them next door.
Yeah. That's what she
does. Why you move? Eric, plot six, doesn't know. He doesn't listen to this anyway. We'll be all right.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll come back to that in the future. Smashing. Yeah.
If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave us a tip at ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. And we'll love you forever.
So you want to talk about seed tapes, don't you, Elaine?
I do, but we're going to do a hint and tip
first. Okay, off you go then.
Right then. So sweet corn is notoriously one of the last things that we plant on our plots, isn't it? I don't know how many people know this, but whilst it is that you're gathering all of your seeds for the year, and we have been for some considerable time, don't get two different types of sweet corn.
Why?
Because they cross-pollinate one another, and then the cobs become starchy and they are vile. So don't do it. And also, if you're on an allotment site like ours, ask your neighbour what it is that they're going to be planting. You look like I've just come up with something genius.
Well, I always wondered why Jerry and Chris behind us, they used to have a conversation about which varieties of sweet corn they were planting.
Yeah.
And also they decided between them whereabouts on the plots they would plant them. So that obviously explains why they've done that.
It definitely is. And we'll talk more about it when we get to that stage at the end of May. But in between times, I'm dropping my glasses here. Ooh. But in between times, keep looking at what your neighbour is going to do and ask them if you can't see.
I always watch what my neighbour does, but that's you, isn't it?
If you'd like Elaine and Julia to come to a talk for your group, get in touch. naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk.
Right, on to seed tapes.
Yeah.
Now then, Julia, here we have some seed tapes.
Yes.
And I want to talk about them because when we go out to do our talks, this is what I find most people are aghast at.
Yes.
In a nice way, that yes. is. So I've put all of these in a little container.
Yeah.
And I thought that we could just talk about why I've got these seed tapes in front of me. And we've got a humongous variety. And in fairness, you bought them, didn't you?
Yes, I did. So we did get some from the garden centre previously. Yeah. They're a couple of pounds, but I think they're worth it, even if they do cost you a couple of pounds in the garden centres. And usually they do only have like one or two varieties on them. But I'll tell you why they're good value and also why we recommend them to people. So there's a lady on our site who has disabilities. She's on a mobility scooter, but she also has problems with arthritis in her hands. And one day I was going past her and she said, come and have a look at my radishes. What's wrong with them? And I looked at her radishes and it would be fair to say that everything was sown far too close together.
Right.
So nothing had got the room to develop.
Yeah.
So what I sat there doing on her plot was thinning it out. The radishes, and I think I must have taken about 80% of the seeds out to allow what was remaining to grow into an actual radish.
Right.
So, and the next time I went round, she actually stopped me and asked me whether I'd sow her another row, which I was quite happy to do. Don't get me wrong, I'm quite happy to do it. But of course, I'm not always going to be passing her plot at the right time to do that. And so I did say to her, had she seen or experienced seed tapes? Now, for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what a seed tape is, it's basically seeds that are impregnated onto a thin tape. And all I'd say, it's about the width of sellotape, isn't it?
Yeah, Elaine? Or a plaster.
Yeah.
You cut
yeah.
yourself and you get a plaster.
Yeah,
it's
yeah
that,
I'm always cutting
it?
Myself. So, yeah. Yes, I do know. And the tape that it comes on, it's almost like tissue paper.
Yeah.
But when you get the packets, normally you get the ones that you get in the garden centre, the branded variety, the Sutton's ones,
yeah.
they have 6 metres worth of tape
yeah.
there. And what is beautiful about it is that the seeds that are impregnated on the tape are actually spaced out at the right spacing for the plant to grow. So whether it's a carrot, whether it's a radish, the spacing is already made for you. So there's no thinning out. So that makes it really, really easy in terms of no fiddling around trying to thin them out, with especially carrots, which are very fine seeds and also a bit prone to blowing away and everything. And also, if you're thinning out a carrot seed, you know what happens there, don't
you? You get the carrot fly then,
yeah.
because it's the smell that introduces them over.
Yeah.
So in effect, you don't have to touch them.
No.
So let's have a pack. Let's get a packet out of it,
yeah.
because there's so many to
well,
go
Well, I
at.
Went to one of the German supermarkets, a Lidl, and I noticed that they'd got the seed tapes as well. Now, in the garden centres, the Suttons are probably a couple of pounds. But in Lidl, these ones, we've got carrot ones, we've got lettuce.
There's flowers
we've
in
got
there as well.
Yeah, we've got basil. We've even got a dill and cucumber combination one. We've got flowers, as you say. We've got everything. And these were really cheap. So two packs were £2.49 or £1.49 each, which I think is great value. And we're trying them out. But what, going back to the lady on site, she did try the seed tapes and she had great success with them. So then, of course, we had to experiment with them because we don't like talking about things that we don't, you know, we've not experienced ourselves. And we had great success with them as well. So now when we go out to talks, we explain how they work. And a lot of people have now converted to them because, especially if you're working with children as well, they can be really, really heavy-handed when they're sowing seeds.
Well, what I've noticed about these as well is that you've got different varieties. So we've got some early Nantes and we've got some late as well.
Yeah.
So you've got things that will suit during the season rather than just an ad hoc carrot.
Yes.
So I've opened this packet, Julia, and it says that there's 5 metres on here.
Okay.
Now, they're paper and just carefully ripping them. There we go. You can have one.
Okay.
Do you want one, Gareth?
Go on then.
Yeah. Now then, all that we're going to do then is open them. All right. So it tells you where the beginning is. That's always helpful for people who are sight impaired.
So I went to the wrong side.
Oh, there you go. I'll tell you what.
So if you unravel this, what did you say it was 5 metres in there? So it's what? Just probably metre and a half, just over a metre and a half on this?
On each one, yeah. you can tell though, in fairness.
It's perforated,
yeah.
so you've ripped it. So as you pull it along, you see that every centimetre, Julia.
A little bit more, actually, yeah.
Then there's a couple of seeds impregnated
in. Yeah.
So
you just, so So with this, I assume what you do is you dig yourself a little bit of a trough.
Yeah.
Put this in, cover it over, water it in, and Bob's your uncle.
And Fanny is your aunt.
Yeah.
She's
literally.
Not. She's no. Not.
Now then, if it is, though, that you wanted to do a row, you've got enough on this one to mm-hmm. do it. But if you wanted to put them in a trough,
yeah.
like you've got, Gareth, at your house, you literally could
cut it
rip
in.
It.
You rip it.
Yeah, you don't even have to cut it. You don't need scissors or nothing. You can
rip
do it
to the length that you need it. Yeah. And I think it just saves you kind of fiddling around.
Because I remember as a kid, they're starting to fall out a little bit, you'll have carrots growing in your carpet in here. as a kid, I remember we had a fairly big garden, so we used to do different things in the garden, and carrots were one of the things that my dad used to do. But I do remember the seeds they are, and I've done carrots in pots in more recent years, and they just come up as a massive clump because you've got so many seeds going in, and you can't really thin them out.
Yeah.
On that basis, you are going to have carrots.
That's okay.
And this would be a much easier method because it's carrots are hard work.
Yeah.
And so, to be fair, so are radish. And we had such bad experience with radish last year for the first year that we've done them for a long time. And this is much easier to do because, you know, like you said, Julia, the seeds are so tiny, it's impossible to sort of pick up one and put it into the soil. So actually, this is a great method of doing it. So thank you.
So, we've got plenty, Gareth, so we can share. I think we've only got 25 packs, so that'll keep us busy. But the great thing is, as Julia said, that they come in all shapes and sizes, varieties of all kinds of things. So why not go and have a look for them?
And I think they do kind of cost themselves out, Elaine, because there's no waste. You're not thinning, so you're not throwing any seeds away. So although they're a little bit more expensive than, say, that variety would be loose, there's no waste.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Right then, Julia, so here in front of me, look, I've prepped it and everything.
I was a bit worried when I walked in and saw that knife on the table, Elaine. I thought we were in trouble, Gareth.
It's a sharp one, it's a new one.
Yeah.
But I've got my chopping board and I've got two little tiny squashes that were from last year. Now,
okay.
I use these as decorations. And they've lasted right the way through. They haven't gone off or nothing.
And they've been in your house as well, haven't they?
Yeah. What's that all about?
Well, I'm just thinking the heat. I'm just thinking the heat.
There's no heat in here, madam. Because you're here. Right. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut these. And as I say, they're only little squashes.
Yeah.
And I think one was called... was it Little Munchkin or something or other? But they're only... I don't know how big that is.
A handful.
What I was going to say... No bigger than a cricket ball.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not that I play cricket, but... Oh, yes, we've got a nod from producer, Gareth. But it feels like that.
I
feel one being thrown, but I won't. So all I'm going to do then is I'm going to chop this up and see if there's any seeds.
Oh, that's why you're doing it. Are you doing it so if you can find some seeds in it? Oh, right, okay.
Well, I wondered if...
That looks a little tough. Or is your knife a bit blunt?
It's a knife, Gareth. Don't say that. Right.
Be careful.
I am being careful.
I don't want to have to fill in forms for this. See what I mean?
I am being attacked by a stem there. Yeah.
Right. Oh. Now then, in the inside, there are lots of seeds.
Okay.
Now, I didn't know if these were going to have any, in fairness, but look at these. They're absolutely full.
So what are you going to do with them now, Elaine?
Right, this is an experiment. If anybody else out there has got any squashes that they're not sure about eating now, they've perhaps gone over or just don't want to try and eat them, why not do what we're going to do, which is, Julia, believe it or not, actually this is really dry as well inside. Oh. So what I'm going to do is I'm put them on the kitchen paper, these seeds here, like so, and I'm simply going to dry them out.
Okay.
I'm going to dry them out and then... In a couple of months' time, we're going to set them.
Okay.
Now, it is an experiment. I've never done this before.
No.
But let's see if they turn out to be the little munchkin or if they turn out to be something quite bizarre.
Well, they could have been cross-pollinated on the plots, so it would be interesting to see what happens with them. But for our listeners, just so you know, we don't normally save seeds at this time of year, do we?
No. Well, no, because it's the kind of thing that we've done last year for this year. But I just thought... Why won't they grow? That's more of a question. It's the opposite to what we normally do.
Top-notch advice. No Latin included. The Potty Plotters Plotcast.
You've been out preparing your ground, haven't you?
I have, I nearly killed myself in the process because the soil is so wet and claggy. So... not moaning about it, but I have had my half a ton of sharp sand delivered.
Right.
I tell you what, there are days that you do feel your age, and that was a day that I did, because it's so heavy.
Yeah.
The sand was really heavy. But what I've done is, in my two new raised beds, I've dug it, and then what I've done is, within the soil, I've put in half a ton of sharp sand. Now, I've mixed it in with the soil.
Yeah.
So excellent drainage now. And also, they look really nice. But I've moved some of that over into another raised bed as well. So in effect, I'll have 2.5 raised beds that are well and truly prepped for parsnips, carrots, and also beetroot. Excellent too for shallots and onions.
Okay, so are there any vegetables that don't like sand? She's thinking.
I can't think of any. Because they don't like to be sitting in wet. I mean, who does? And it will improve the warmth too. So I would go for it personally.
Yeah.
Well, I have.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But I know that all those vegetables love sand.
Yeah.
So why not get it in there? And I know too that now my raised beds are ready for planting out. It doesn't matter what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. But I'm telling you, they are ready. So I think we're going to be hopefully flushed with success this year.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, if this only stops raining.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Now, I see that you've got listed beetroot. Now is the time that we are setting some beetroot seeds. We're not going to talk too much about them. We're just going to say that we're setting them, because if you listen back to the first series, episode 15, we talk about beetroot and how we do it so differently, really, and different varieties of beetroot. So, yeah, we're just setting seeds, aren't we, Lane, today?
We are, and I'm carrying on doing Solyndra because I like a long, thin one.
Okay, and I'm carrying to carry on. I'm going to do Detroit 2.
Why is Gareth holding his head in his hands?
Because he can't control you, can he?
And I also want to talk today about Cosmos.
Yes.
Now, last year, Julia, when we did Stefan Neal's wedding, it was a wedding to behold. But we didn't do enough Cosmos.
No, we didn't.
We did tons of everything,
didn't
we? Now,
when we say we didn't do enough Cosmos, we didn't do enough. Well, we did loads and loads of flowers. But after the wedding, we've gone completely flower mad. We have this year. And, I mean, I must have about 10 different varieties of antirrhinums going, the snapdragons. But also, both of us have excitedly told each other that we've bought Cosmos. And we must have about 15 varieties of Cosmos between us.
Out of my Mary Poppins bag.
Oh, here, yes.
I have got some Cosmos here. I've got white, which is Purity.
Yeah.
I've got Fizzy Purple.
Oh, right, yeah.
There you go. Which is, believe it or not, purple. I've got Apricotta.
Oh, I've got Apricotta.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
And then I've got another one of Purity and also Fizzy White.
Oh, I've got a lemon one.
Oh, you've always got to have something.
But I'm just telling you, so you don't go and buy one.
No. All right, then. Well, we've got loads between us, so I'll just put my Mary Poppins back. Now then, I just want to tell people that this is dead easy to grow. We could even get Gareth doing this himself for more homework. He's just turned the volume down. Did you see what he did there?
I turned it up, actually. I don't have time to do homework.
I don't have time to do homework.
The cat ate the homework?
Yeah.
I just don't have the time at the moment.
All right, okay.
I think we'll just grow him some plants and pass them to him.
Okay, let's do it. Now then, the reason that I wanted to talk about Cosmos was because of what's written on the back. These packets say... There you go, Gareth.
Come on.
Have a look. What does it say?
100% satisfaction guaranteed.
and all that malarkey.
Should they fail, please return this packet and we will replace it.
No.
All right.
It's so indoors, so outdoors. So indoors, it says February
10th. Oh, that side. Are we looking at the other side? I was thinking the mail order company established in 1908.
Yeah, I was reading that side and going,
what on earth is
she going on about?
My
book, How to Work with Donkeys and Survive. Anyway, so
rude.
So indoors, mine says February to April.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Outdoors, April to May.
Yes.
That might be a bit optimistic, really.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
April's very optimistic on the basis that we're talking, it's Easter's early this year. So we're talking April could still potentially be quite cold.
Well, are you aware? I mean, we're in the Midlands.
Yeah.
You know.
So we potentially are, late April, early May then.
Well, broadcasting throughout the country, throughout the world, but specifically we are aware of our last frost, aren't we? And we're aware of our last frost dates. And believe it or not, it's the second week in May where we are. If people are listening in Scotland, it could even be running
September.
Into June.
So I find this information on the backs of packets. I mean, we've got different variety here. And this one is March through to the end of May. So I think it's really peculiar that you get all these different dates and not everybody understands them, which we've said before. So what I'm going to do is advise people, if you're going to do Cosmos, why not do it indoors? Keep them indoors, because now we're in the middle of March and we're nearly going into April. We don't know, as Gareth said, about what the weather's going to be. Who knows what it might be? So just to be safe, what I would do is now set this off in a tray. You know the recycled trays?
And with the fruit in,
brought them some in today as well. And then all you do is put a couple of inches of
multi-purpose
compost. Yeah. And then all you do is put these seeds over the top just thinly, or use your cocktail stick.
Well, these are quite big seeds actually in the Cosmos, so they're reasonably okay to handle unless you and space them out. But what I would say as well is, because you get so many in the packet, you've got 150 in this packet, I would do a couple of sowing. So I would sow them every couple of weeks potentially. So again, that we get a later flowering season, because I'm sure they will run out of steam if we keep cutting them.
Okay.
So I would do a couple of later sowings. And also, if we're going to do them now in the greenhouse, we'll just have the horticultural fleece on standby just in case we have a bit of a cold night, just to cover them, because they aren't frost hardy.
No, they're not.
So we do need to look after them, Elaine.
Okay, let's have a go at that. So anybody who wants to start setting seeds, main thing is, as I'm gathering all of these back up again, main thing is read the backs of the packets, but judge with your own common sense. Well, I'm going to say thanks today, because it's been not hard work. It's Gareth who gets all the hard work. We get the easy stuff, really,
don't we? All we do is talk, and that's what we do anyway.
Yeah, although I did make a cake. And
Very nice it was. Thank you
very much. And what I will reiterate is that if anybody has got any questions or wants to get in touch with any problems that they've had growing things, or things that they're not really sure about, then just give us a knock.
And we also want to hear about your successes as well. And also, where are you listening to this? Where in the country or in the world? Where in the house? Or actually, you might be in your car.
Well, that's a thought.
Be interesting to know where people listen to us.
Oh, yeah.
In the shed.
Well, I'm listening and talking in the house, and at the moment our window ledges are getting very, very full.
I notice they're groaning, yes.
Yeah. And so this is the potential time for divorce.
Yeah, have the papers not been served yet?
No. When husbands and wives come home and say, how many more are you going to bring home? So if you can't throw a deaf one, just try ignoring them.
Yeah.
Anyway, next time we'll be talking... Well, we're just doing more talking.
Yeah, but we're talking to Callum Stokes, who we spoke to in the last season. Now, he was one of our starters on site who we nurtured and taught him how to grow.
Yeah.
And now he's progressed to his own full plot.
Brilliant.
And he's got a new career, hasn't he?
Oh, well, I've heard all about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's see what happens then. And I think we're going to be talking about dahlias. I don't know if you've noticed those, Julia.
I did eye up about 15 packs on your sideboard over there with new dahlia tubers in. So.
Yes, indeed. It's amazing. A lot of women hide clothes and shoes. I just have to hide dahlias.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters is an Amberland Media production.